Hey listeners, Diego here. We've been working on something really special for you. For 6 weeks this summer, the Radioactive team worked hard to bring you deep, distinctive stories from around the Pacific Northwest. Stories about passion, family, loss, and love. For the next 2 months, we're going to be sharing those stories with you right here. And this week, I'm your host. In a little bit, I'm going to chat with my friend Jesse about their story, so make sure you stick around at the end for that. Just a heads up, we haven't talked in a while, so we're going to chat a bit first, and then get down to business. Hey Jesse, are you there?
Hi Diego!
How are you? Long time no talk.
Oh yeah, it's been, a month?
Are you applying for colleges right now?
Yeah, it's not fun. I still have to get all my letters of rec together, and we'll see how everything goes. I'm just banking on my extracurriculars right now.
Yay, me too. I know, I really gotta hope that the essay I write pulls me through. So, I'm so excited to listen to your story again. It's been so long.
Me too. I kind of need a refresher, so it's been a while.
Yeah, well, you told me about Graham Blair, who's just your average college freshman. And I remember you saying he's got a great mom and great friends and a pretty great future ahead of him. But from what I understand, that wasn't always the case when he started transitioning in more ways than one.
You've got it.
Well, let's see what you had to say in your story.
This is my friend, Graham.
So my room has blue walls. I don't know. I have a lot of movie
posters. He's giving me a tour of his room, like a cool kid.
I have fairy lights up along the ceiling because that's important for my aesthetic.
He just started at Evergreen College this fall.
I'm going to study foreign languages, linguistics, and gender studies.
He's got his bags.
I wanted a new backpack for college.
He's got his books.
I have a bullet journal page dedicated to my aesthetic.
He's got his confidence.
I like to think I'm pretty cute.
He sounds so certain with his life and where he's going, but he hadn't started out that way.
I don't know. It's like, you know how when kids think they're funny, but they're not? That was me just all the time. I mean, it's probably still me, to be honest.
Graham has a lot of support going for him, though.
Really, pretty much the instant he was born, I had a full understanding of unconditional love.
That's Graham's mom, Jordan Blair.
She's been supportive the entire time.
That is, being supportive of Graham living as a gay, trans adult.
This whole process, I've been so lucky, and it's not like this for most trans people.
When he first came out to her, though?
He just said, I think I'm trans. And I didn't know anything at all about being transgender. Nothing. And I was surprised and had questions. I did get emotional.
We both cried. I don't know. I also didn't understand anything about the trans community.
Both of them were entering a new world together.
Neither of us knew what to do, but now in retrospect, we're both this is the easiest thing.
They navigated everything slowly and even got help on how to best be there for each other.
People talk a lot about how they knew that they were trans from the beginning, and that's great. I didn't. And so it wasn't until eighth grade that I started to question things. But even then, it wasn't an educated questioning. It was looking at WikiHows on how to act like a dude.
But I did suggest that we find somebody that he can talk to that would help him figure it out. Because at that moment, he was wondering if he was.
And so then I got a gender therapist. She's really great. I don't see her anymore because everyone needs therapy, but I'm also I don't need therapy.
They worked out the initial bumps in the road once he did come out. Bumps like telling his school and his friends, who all knew him from before he had transitioned, and even telling the rest of his family.
He came out to a group of our friends, our chosen family that we call the Fellowship.
Graham had written an email to the Fellowship to tell them the news, but he hadn't sent it yet.
We were just sitting in the car in the driveway, and he was crying. He never cries, and he was crying and crying, and so worried and saying, What if they're not going to love me anymore? What if they're not going to want to be friends with you? And I just said, it won't matter because they won't be people we want in our lives then. And I just told him, I said, you can't deny the world who you are anymore. And he sent it and everything changed.
The Fellowship had rallied around them to support Graham during this confusing time of his life.
He wouldn't even use the word transgender, didn't like it. It was a very difficult first year.
Because at first I didn't like saying the word, and I would be like, this is a good descriptor of my identity, but I'm not this word, I guess. But now I'm just like, I'm so trans, like the transest you can get.
In fact, Graham was so trans that he decided to have the surgery.
I had top surgery, which is a chest reconstruction surgery.
Once they got approval for the surgery by their insurance company, the hospital only had one slot left, the day before Christmas Eve.
I said yes, and then I called Graham and said, you're having surgery on the 23rd. Merry Christmas.
They were in and out of the hospital within 2 days, celebrating Christmas with the rest of their family and happy with the fact that Graham was another step closer to being more comfortable in his body. Graham's mom was also another step closer to her son. She learned,
it's just not that big of a deal, so everybody should just love their kids.
Physically, Graham was taking a big step towards who he wanted to be and knew that his mom would fight anyone who wouldn't accept him. Still, there was something else in the back of his mind.
Like, a lot of who I was during high school was too uptight and stressed about my grades, but I also didn't have the confidence that I have now.
Graham sought to further transform himself by joining TSB, or the Service Board.
It's a nonprofit youth-led organization that focuses on social justice, service learning, and snowboarding.
And with that, he was thrust into another totally new environment. He began to learn more about the world and about himself.
One of the community agreements at TSB is push your growing edge, which means instead of like going outside of your comfort zone, you just expand your comfort zone.
And he did apply this to his life. That push gave him the confidence he needed to take on the world as an adult going off to college.
I'm turning 19. Oh my God. I mentioned to people that like, I'm an adult, but I don't know how to be an adult.
But that hasn't stopped him from trying. He's got a car, a tattoo, and even a new legal name. Graham had gone down to the King County Courthouse the day after he turned 18. He endured the hours of waiting and nerves piling up in his stomach. And then he was called to stand before the judge.
You know, I had to stand up and be like, no, I'm not doing this to avoid the law, that sort of thing. Then he was like, great, you're done. It was like a 15-second interaction.
But this 15-second interaction opened up so many new doors as Graham transitioned from one chapter to the next. When he enters this new stage of his life, there are new questions to be answered.
Do you want people at college to see you as a trans guy or just a guy?
I mean, if someone asks or if it comes into a conversation, I'll be like, heck yeah, I'm trans. But I'm not necessarily going to be as invested as I have been in high school because I don't want people to think that that's the only aspect that there is about me. And I'm sure people don't think that, but sometimes I think that and I don't want to do that anymore.
From Radioactive, this is Jesse Nguyen signing off.
Okay, is there anything you want to tell each other?
What do you want to tell me, son? How much you love me and think I'm the best mom in the world.
You are okay.
Okay. Oh, Jesse, that was so good. I definitely want to like know some other things about you and Graham and what it took to make the story. Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
I mean, let's go for it.
Okay, awesome. So, why do you feel that this story was important for you to tell?
I mean, I don't mention it in the story itself because it's all about Graham, but a lot of people don't really know this about me. And that, like, little known fact is that I'm gender fluid, and I use they, them pronouns, which I notice you've been using. Thanks, Diego.
I try.
I don't know. I guess I wanted to talk about non-binary people and trans people and how them like being trans or being non-binary doesn't define who they are. It's just a part of their life, and I want people to really understand that this is Graham. Graham is a super cool person, and he's living life how he wants to live it and not by how anyone else wants to tell him to live it.
That's so awesome. I'm glad you made a story about something that was really important to you. Is there anything else that you really love about the story?
I really like how upbeat it is most of the time, because you guys have really depressing stories.
Hey, sometimes sad stories are good. They make you feel things.
Give you feels.
Is there anything else?
But yeah, no, I'm just happy that it, like, gave justice to Graham and who he is and who his mom is.
I mean, I feel like it really did that too. Is there anything that you had to leave out of your story that you really wish you could have included but just didn't fit?
Oh my god, there was so much stuff I had to cut out. I had like 3 hours worth of like material, and I had to cut out bits of like Graham giving advice to people, or like how more of his mom talking about how they got to where they were, and a lot of the backstory for them. And I just like,
gosh, I
missed all of it.
I really feel you there. I know I had to cut some things out that I really love too. So have you talked to Graham recently? Have you guys been able to see each other since the story?
It's funny that you mentioned that, Diego, because I actually, right before this interview, I got a Snapchat from Graham saying he was having cereal for dinner and that this was the life of a college student. I was laughing my butt off.
Well, I guess we have something to look forward to for college next year, eating cereal for dinner.
Yes, cereal. All day, every day.
Is there anyone else you want to, like, thank for your story?
Oh, yeah. My editor, Carol Smith, my mentor, Angela Nguyen, all my friends at Radioactive, and yeah.
Oh, Jesse, thank you so much for talking to me today. That was great. I was so glad I got to catch up with you.
Me too. I really like knowing how you are and just seeing how everyone's doing. I miss you guys.
I miss you too. Well, thank you again. I hope you have a good day.
You too.
Thank you all so much for listening. There are more in-depth stories to come in the next weeks, and they'll be accompanied by personal conversations with the creators, just like you heard today. I want to give a quick thanks to Aaliyah Musaliar for her help putting this all together, to our editor Jenny Asarno, Jesse for their lovely story, and to the rest of the Radioactive crew. If you liked what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to the Radioactive podcast on iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, check us out on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media, on Instagram and Twitter at KUOW Radioactive, and on KUOW.org. I'm Diego Viruel, and I'll see you all here next week.